Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation comes from our gospel lesson from today, John chapter 2, where Mary says to her son, "They have no wine." This is our text. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, imagine for a moment that you are getting married or you're attending the wedding of a close relative. The wedding is scheduled to be held in the hometown of the bride, maybe 2 hours away, and the reception is to be held in a reception hall sharing the same parking lot as your hotel. And the bride and groom have planned out every single detail. They've got the church, they've got the minister, they've got the hotel rooms for the guests, they've got the reception hall all squared away, the rehearsal dinner is all planned, the menu for the reception is all covered. Basically, everything is set for their special day. Except they didn't plan on a huge storm going through town, cutting power to half the town, including their hotel and the reception hall. And so there's a lot of panic, and the bridal party tries to make alternate plans, and finally you come to the conclusion that you just have to get ready for the wedding because it's just a few hours away, and you've got to get to a new hotel because your hotel doesn't have power. And you know, those ladies, they need their hair dryers. And so you're crossing town, and you happen to notice a huge reception hall, and it's got its lights on. And so you give them a call and you ask if they can quickly put together your reception. You tell them how much you were planning to spend. You tell them the menu that you were planning on. You tell them how many guests you were expecting. And they tell you that they will call you back in an hour. And it's the longest hour you have ever spent in your life. Reluctantly, you get into the shower because you don't want to miss the call. And finally, the call comes, and they say that they can do it. And so you start texting, and you start using social media. You start calling all the guests to let them know that the venue has changed, but there will be a reception. And the wedding goes on without a hitch. Close friends and family meet at the bride's parents' home while the wedding party goes and has pictures taken. And then it's time to go to the reception hall. And it is totally decked out and ready for hours of fun and joy making. If you hadn't been on the inside, if you hadn't gotten the text, if you haven't seen the social media, you would have never known about the change of venue, and you would have never guessed that they had prepared this wedding reception in a matter of 4 hours. Things go wrong with weddings, even when they are perfectly, perfectly planned out. Well, it wasn't a matter of the power going out. In fact, electricity hadn't even been invented yet. But weddings back then could go on for a whole entire week. And so it's the third day of the wedding celebration, and Jesus and his disciples had been invited. And back then, weddings were occasions of great joy and feasting. They were occasions of social and family concord and unity. And because of that, weddings had become a central prophetic symbol for the peace and prosperity that God's salvation would bring. Most especially, the wedding became a symbol of the union between God and Israel, which would result from God's steadfast love for Israel. But to have the wine run out was without a doubt much more devastating than having the power go out. You see, back in the day, food had meaning and symbols behind them. Food and wine became a natural symbol of the language, since you could talk about hunger and yet you could be speaking about one's longing for fulfillment. Take salt, for example. Salt, while it was used for preservation of food, it also becomes a symbol for friendship under this Hebrew method of speaking. And bread, well, since you ate bread at three meals each day, bread becomes a symbol of the staff of life. And oil, because it stood for fatness, it also stood for fulfillment or joy. Scripture says, "Blessed is he who drips with fatness." Now, we're not trying to get those dieting Americans shocked or anything like that, but it really is an idea that where there is fatness, we are fulfilled together as a community, not as individuals. And then comes wine. Enter blessed wine. Wine is to gladden the hearts of God's people. It was a symbol of the fact that the Creator of the universe loved us beyond all sense of proportion, beyond all sense of reason. Thus, he gave us wine for joy. Wine was one of the good things created for good people. Ben Franklin even said it, that wine is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. But to run out of wine at a wedding, that would surely reflect that God was not happy with his couple or with his union. Running out of wine would surely bring shame, not just on that couple, but on both sides of the family. Their reputation was totally at stake. And so Mary jumps in and she informs her firstborn son of the problem. They have no wine. Well, what does he have to do with it? It's not his wedding. He has no stake in the matter. And besides, as he says, his hour has not yet come yet. The time to reveal his mission, the time to reveal who he really was, what he was there to do, had not come. But still, with faith in her heart, Mary tells the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And he does. Jesus saves the day. He makes some wine. The groom is commended for saving the good wine for last. And that's the story. But this is much more than a story about wine. This is much more than a story telling about Jesus' first miracle. What this really is about is Jesus revealing his glory. What this really is about is about Epiphany. You see, the last verse in our text says, "This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, manifesting his glory." And probably the most important, "and his disciples believed in him." That word manifest, that's where we get our word epiphany, or reveal. Jesus, in this miracle or this sign, is revealing who he is and why he has come. No, he didn't come to make wine. He came to repair the relationship between us and God. He was revealing himself as God, as the one true God who came into the world to die on the cross. Read through the book of John. The book of John was written to be read from cover to cover, from John chapter 1 through John chapter 21. And if you read that book that way, do you know how many times we see Mary? And do you know where we see Mary in the book of John? We see her here at this wedding, as Jesus is revealing himself as God who has come to save the world. But we won't see Mary again until John chapter 19, where we see Mary standing at the foot of the cross. And once again, Jesus calls her not mother, but woman, when he says, "Woman, behold your son." And then he says to John, the disciple that he loved, "Behold your mother." You see, it is at the cross where Jesus' mission, where his hour finally comes, when he fully reveals to us why he is here and what he is doing. He is dying for us on the cross for our sins. He is dying to put us back into a proper relationship with God again. He is healing relationships. He is fixing humanity. So to be sure, this is much more than a story about a man making wine. This is a story about the God-man bringing salvation to a world that is broken by sin. It is much more than a family story about a wedding gone wrong. It is part of God's plan of salvation because the world had gone wrong and had plummeted into sin. It is a story of God's love for his people, and a story of exactly how God was going to restore that love for his people for all eternity by having his son die on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. We join together to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, how awesome are your deeds! For it pleased you to send your Son into our world to rescue us from sin, death, and the devil. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might cling in faith to Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, and receive from him the forgiveness, life, and salvation he lovingly delivers to us in the Cana of his holy church. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, guide, uplift, and sustain all pastors in Christ, that the holy gospel would be preached among us in its purity and the holy sacraments administered among us according to Christ's institution. We give you thanks, O Lord, this day, for your servants, Pastor Ken Bells and Pastor Art Scherer. We thank you, Lord, for the many years in which they proclaimed the gospel and modeled you before the people that they served. Uplift those who mourn their deaths with a sure and certain hope of that same gospel that they preached faithfully. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, we give you humble thanks for instituting the estate of holy marriage and for the blessings of family. Grant that these gifts would be cherished and honored in our society and especially within the household of faith. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you govern all things in heaven and on earth. Bless those whom you have placed in authority over us, that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. Bless also those who serve in our armed forces, that they would serve with integrity and honor. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth and giver of life, we thank you for all the mercies that you granted to our brother Don during his earthly life, especially for calling him to faith in Jesus Christ. Comfort those who mourn his death with the hope of a glorious resurrection and a joyful reunion in heaven. And keep us mindful that we are mortal, so that we will ever be prepared to die in the faith and finally receive the glory promised to all who trust in your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, behold also with tender mercy those who are sick or suffering at this time. We lift before you George Merringer, Kim Weber, and Ken Fick, Pam Bowen, Earl Rapp, Charles Bussey, Lola Hargrove, Clint Fick, Carrie Ramsey, and Marty Berger, Dan Patsky, John Pollock, Bob Lovedahl, Myrna Hoover, Ron Benson, Pat Wilde, Sean Scanlon, Gene Howe, Bob Lodgett, and Krista Parker, Eric Miller, Jim Palmer, Ron Vivian, Brian Crawford, David Rachel, Virginia Douglas, Luca and Micah Flick, Hannah Swanson and Tyler Zelko, that they would all know the consolation of your love in Christ Jesus and be strengthened to endure. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. I invite you to take the attendance booklet. Let us know that you were here and pass that to your neighbor.
vineyards be fruitful, Lord. Pour a cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.